Chesim and Aleph, we'll start the second line from the top, even though the next few lines we learned already, but we can't start in the middle. Second line from the top, it says, no, wrong Gemara, you got a... I'm sorry. I didn't see that you're... Okay, Amar Mar, we said before in the Braisa, Beisilul Eimer, Beisilul says that Mina Maiser, that you can bring the Shalmei Chagiga, remember the carbon that you have to bring on Yom Tov that everybody eats, you could even bring it from Maiser Sheini money. It doesn't have to be from completely unconsecrated money, you could even bring it from Maiser Sheini money to pay for it. So the Gemara asks Amai, why? It's something which is a mandatory offering, and the rule is anything which is mandatory can only come from something which is completely unconsecrated. And Maaser Sheni is consecrated. So how can Beis Hillel say you can bring a korban shalmei chagiga from Maaser Sheni money if it's anything which is an obligation? You can't. So Ula Amar Ula said b'teifa. It's speaking when you buy supplemented, meaning you can't buy it completely for Maaser Sheni. When Beis Hillel says you can buy the carbon for Maaser Sheni, it means you could supplement to buy it for Maaser Sheni. So the Gemara asks, what does Ula mean though? What are you supplementing? Chizkia, my Chizkia says, Teflon behema le behema. You can join animal to animal, meaning if you buy one animal from regular money, you could buy additional animals from Maaser Sheni money. But one animal you have to buy from regular money. But a teflon mois le mois, you can't supplement money to buy one animal. In other words, Chizkia holds, you can supplement it, what Hillel says, you could supplement it. You can only supplement it in a way that you supplement after you buy an animal with regular money, then you could buy another animal with Maaser Sheni money. But you can't buy one animal with Maaser and non-Maaser money. That's no good. Rabbi Yechanan Amar, Rabbi Yechanan says, Teflon Mois Lamois, you could supplement money to money, meaning you could supplement Maaser Sheni to non-Maaser Sheni money to buy one carbon. But in Teflon, Behema, Lebehema, you can't do it animal to animal. And this is what we left off last time. And basically the argument is, which one's better to supplement? Chizkia holds that once you buy one animal with normal money, this animal is kosher. The additional animals, it doesn't have to be that kosher, so to speak. Goodbye for my Sheni money. And Rabbi Yechanan says no. Because then the problem is all the other animals have no chulin money, have no regular money. So Rabbi Yechanan says you have to join together maaser money and non-maaser money to buy one animal. But any animal you buy must be a mixture of both. That's what Rabbi Yechanan holds. So the Gemara says, Tanya de Kavasi de Chizkia, we learned the Braisa like Chizkia, V'tanya kavasid Rabbi Yechanan. And we learned the Braise, which supports Rabbi Yechanan's view. So he says, Tanya kavasid Rabbi Yechanan. We learned the Braise to prove Rabbi Yechanan, because it says in the Torah, Misas. Hey, we're having a live person today? It says in the Pasuk as follows. The Pasuk says, let me just quote the entire Pasuk. Vasisa chak shvuas Hashem alakecha. The Gemara doesn't quote the Pasuk, but the Pasuk says, you should make the Yom Tov shvuas for Hashem. Misas, whatever misas means, we'll see, but a tribute of anidvas yotcha shetitein, of you should give what you're able to give as Hashem blesses you. Okay, that's what the Pasuk says. So it says, Misas, what does it mean, Misas, unconsecrated, Melamed Shadamei V'chayvasa Menachulun. It teaches us that a person must bring his korban from unconsecrated money, from regular money. Minayin Shem Ratzel La'ariv Ma'ariv. How do we know if you want to buy additional animals for Maaser money? How do I know that you're allowed to? Because it says, "Kashe yevarechacha Hashem alekecha." I'm sorry, not additional animals. Rabbi Yechonon, there's a proof to Rabbi Yechonon. It says you have to buy the animal for regular money. How do I know if you want to mix Maaser sheni money into the regular money? You're allowed to, because it says, "Kashe yevarechacha Hashem alekecha, like Hashem will bless you." So this brayser says clearly, you can mix in one animal. You can mix Maaser money and non-Maaser money, and it will be kosher.
But maybe you could mix in the second and third animal and so forth, but not in the first one.
The problem over here is that they're speaking about one things. Because the Brisa talks about combining money. Thank you. Combining money. And that was Rabbi Yechonon said you could combine money, not animals. So to prove to Rabbi Yechonon that he says you can combine money. Tanya Kavasi de Chizkia, there's a proof to Chizkia, because it says the same word, Misas, Melamed Sha'odam Mevi Chavasi Min Achulin, it teaches us you have to bring the minimal obligation, meaning one animal, from Chulin money, unconsecrated money. That means you cannot mix one animal of Maaser and non-Maaser. So there's a braiser that holds like Rabbi Yechonon, there's a braiser that holds like Chizkia. Now the Gemara continues about this din. Bishamay Emrim, it's so to speak, it's a new Gemara connected to this one. Bishamay Emrim, Bishamay says, Yom Rishon, the first day of Yom Tif, meaning what you bring, the Shalmei Chagiga, on the first day of Yom Tif, it has to be Minachulin, from unconsecrated property. You can't bring it from anything of Maaser. Mikan ve'elach, the offerings from that day onward, meaning Shalmei Simcha, not the Chagiga, not the obligatory korban, the Shalmei Simcha, can come from Maaser Sheini. So Beis Shalmei says as follows, the Shalmei Chagiga, which is an obligation to bring, must come from Chulin money, from unconsecrated money. From then onward, the Shalmei Simcha, remember we learned, what happens if a guy doesn't have meat? And you need to have meat on Yom Tif. So you have to bring Shalmei Simcha. That you could bring from any money. Maaser money, not Maaser money, anything you're allowed to use. Beisila Leiman Beisila says no. Achila Rishayna Min Achulin. The first biting, meaning, the first Shalmei Chagiga, that has to be from Chulin money. Mikan ve'elach, following that, min ha-maiser, you could bring it even for Maaser Sheni. Meaning, the first original carbon that you must bring, which is an obligation, that has to come from Chulin money, from unconsecrated money. Additional carbonus that you want to bring, that can come from Maaser money. I'll give you an example. You have to give 10% to tzedakah. Yeah? So let's say, it says in Halacha, and Purim, you have to give matanos l'avyeinim. You have to give Purim, to poor people on Purim. So it says, how much do you have to give? A penny to two poor people. I mean, that's the minimal. It's a pruta, it's questionable today if a pruta is a penny or not. Let's say, you give a nickel to one poor person, and a nickel to another per person, you did the mitzvah matanos l'avyeinim. Those two nickels cannot be deducted from your tzedakah fund. Because that's a mitzvah to give on that day from your money. If you want to give $100 on that day to tzedakah, so $99.90 you could take away from Maaser money. Why? Because that's not an obligation anymore for Matanos L'Avyeinim. Matanos L'Avyeinim, what you must give, that must be from non-tzedakah money. And the same thing, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai basically say as follows. Beis Shammai says, Shammai Chagiga has to come from regular money. The other korban is Shammai Simcha, which is not an obligation to bring. It's just if you don't have meat, you bring it. But if you have meat, you don't have to bring it. That you don't have to give from, that you can bring from Meiser. What?
Where should the Maaser Sheni to go to? Who gets the Maaser Sheni? Who do you give it?
Maaser Sheni belongs to you, but it has to be eaten in Yerushalayim.
You can enjoy it yourself.
But only in Yerushalayim. It's yours.
It's yours.
No.
Why is it
what happens if it's... It, 1 second. What happens if you have 1,000 bushels of Maaser Sheni and it's too heavy to schlep to Yerushalayim?
You change it to money
and you bring the money to Yerushalayim. And the money could only be spent on food to be eaten in Yerushalayim. It's yours. It's yours, but you have to eat it.
And if you cannot eat it,
you give it to somebody else to eat. You give it to anybody to eat. It's not holy. It doesn't. It belongs to you. You know, you don't have to be a kohen to eat it. You don't have to be a levi to eat it. You eat it, but you can only eat it in Yerushalayim.
What's the
point of it? God said so. That's about it.
Can you sell it?
Yeah.
When you're there?
Yeah, for cheap. It's supply and demand.
And the money?
So the people that lived in Yerushalayim got a lot of bargains. Because they knew, let's say a guy had $1,000 Maaser Sheni money, right? Yeah? They know he's staying in Yerushalayim a few days. He's not going to eat $1,000 worth of food in 3 days, in a week or whatever, right? So to speak, he was forced to sell it for cheap. So the Bim Yerushalayim would buy it, let's say, 50 cents on the dollar, maybe. Because the guy would have to sell it cheap.
So the money gets from it, it's still my
money. No. Once it's exchanged, that's it. Except the food that the guys in Yerushalayim bought... They had to eat in Yerushalayim, but they didn't care. They lived in Yerushalayim anyway. What did they care? They couldn't take it out of Yerushalayim. They couldn't go on a trip to Hebron and eat it there. So they had to eat it in Yerushalayim. Big deal. That's what I mean, the question, what is God, what's the purpose of nobody's gaining by it except you? And for you, it's a hassle because you have to eat it in Yerushalayim. So that's what Hashem wants. I'm sure the chinuch says a reason for the mitzvah, because the chinuch explains the reasons for all the mitzvahs.
Even para aduba?
No. I know he's going to ask. No. He explains the logic of the logical things, why Hashem says to do it. So over here the question is, a korban that you must bring, the Gemara learns out from Sukkim, must come from what's called chulin. Unconsecrated money. Maaser Sheni, by the way, has a level of holiness to it that it must be eaten in Yerushalayim. So it's not chulin, it's Maaser Sheni. But Maaser Sheni doesn't have like the kedusha of truma. Truma only a kohen could eat. By the way, I'll tell you something. Maaser that you give to the Levi is also not holy. It becomes the Levi's property. If he wants to give it to somebody to eat, he can give it to whoever he wants. Maaser Sheni, the Torah says, belongs to you, but it must be eaten in Yerushalayim. Okay, so now the Gemara says, what did Beis Hillel say? Beis Hillel said that the first eating, meaning the first Shami Chigiga that you bring on Yom Tif, that has to come from chulin, from unconsecrated. Mikan ve'elach, the other days, even shami chagiga, but that you bring later, that could come from Maaser Sheni. V'shar kol yemeis ha-Pesach, and all the other days of Pesach, or Sukkot for that matter, which lasts more than one day, Adam yedei dechevase, a person can fulfill their obligation of simcha, even b'maaser behemah. Now, we have to understand this din of Maaser Behema. Maaser Behema also is, you have to give 10% of your animals. Now, in the Siddur, Here. There's a b'char, a meiser, Pesach. These are also karbanos. What is meiser behema? You have to give 10% of your animals to the Beis HaMikdash. But meiser behema, anybody could eat. Like it says, a meiser l'chol adam. Could be eaten to anybody. And you don't have to be a kohen to eat meiser. But it's very important to know this for the coming of Gemara. It wasn't that if a guy had 100 animals, he took 10 animals and brought it to the as a korban. That's not the way it worked. The Gemara says, it's basically a pasuk in Chumash, Kol asher yaveh tachas hashavet, asiri yakodesh l'Hashem. When the guy had, let's say, 100 animals, he lined them up in a pen. And they went through the path. He counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The 10th animal, he hit with a red dye on a stick. He hit the animal with a red dye, and that animal became meiser. Then another 10 walked by, and again he hit the 10th animal. Okay? So Beis Hillel says that on Pesach and Sukkis, you were allowed to fulfill your obligation of eating meat. You have to eat meat to be happy, like we'll soon learn. You have to eat meat. You can be yaitz in the midst of eating meat, not with new karbanos, even with the meiser behema that you had to bring as a karban, but you eat it, so you can be yaitz in the midst of having meat just by eating that. But Hillel says that's not on the first day of Pesach, only Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara asks, "V'yamtif my time alay, why can't you be yaitz simcha and yamtif with meiser behema?" So the Gemara answers, "Amar Rav Ashi, dilma al tzalasur b'yamtif. You might come to separate meiser behema and yamtif. What's the problem with that?" So the Gemara says, "V'yav shela aser b'yamtif. You cannot separate 10% and yamtif." Mishum sakarta, because you hit the animal with the red dye, and you can't paint on Yom Tov. Like we said, how did you do Ma'aser Behema? You had to hit the 10th animal with the red dye, with a stick with red dye. So you couldn't do that on Yom Tov. So therefore, Hillel says, you can't eat Ma'aser Behema animal on Yom Tov, because if you eat it, you might come to separate it on Yom Tov. And separating an yomtif, you're not allowed to, because you're dying the animal. And that you're not allowed to do.
Rabbi, but mathematically, I don't think it works. Don't you have to pay the massive behema on just the increase that you had on that year, on your animals, or on the total? Let's say you have a total of 1,000.
Only the animals that were born that year. Because the other ones you did already. Mice, it's like tzedakah also. It's only 10% of the profits of that year, not in the capital. Mice behema is only on the animals that, I won't say, you can't say grew, because they didn't grow, that were born that year. There was one Tana, Rabbi Elazar ben Chisma, he was so rich, the Gemara says, the tithing of his animals every year were thousands of animals that were the Meiser. He had such a big farm, big cattle raising, that they had like a few thousand animals with just the 10% of the animals of that year. That's why it says, when the guy comes up to heaven, and they're going to ask him the first question, did you learn Torah? After 120 years, the first question they ask you, did you learn Torah? So he says, no, I was too poor. So they say, Hillel was poorer than you, and he still learned Torah. It's not an excuse. And then the guy's going to say, I was Mr. Rich, who had time to learn. I was busy making money. They said, Rabbi Elazar ben Chisma was richer than you. And, that he was able... And he gave 10%. And he still learned Torah. Okay. All the excuses don't help. So now the Gemara says, "My mashma dahi mises lishna de chulin hu." The Gemara said a statement before. How do we know that the carbon has to come from chulin, from unconsecrated money? Because it says misas. So the Gemara said, "How do you know misas?" Mises basically means just giving. How do you know Mises is chulin? So the Gemara answers because it says in the end of the Megillah, "Vayosam Malach Achashverosh Mas al Haaretz," that he gave a mass tax, and therefore Misas, which is the same root of mass, means like taxes, which could only be collected from unconsecrated goods. So see, you see, when the Torah says Misas Yotcha, Mitzah Nidvas Yotcha, it has to be from Chulin. But the Gemara was explaining that to supplement it, that you could with Meiser money. The only argument is, can you supplement it for the same animal or for another animal? That's the only difference. Okay, now the Gemara is going back to the Mishnah. Seven lines in the bottom. Yisrael Yaisin Dechevasim Ben Adarim Ben Adavis. It says in the Mishnah there was a din that a Yisrael could fulfill, in other words, as follows. There's a mitzvah, as the Gemara is going to explain. There's a mitzvah on Yom Tov, you have to be happy. Samachta b'chagecha. Kids, you give them toys. Women, you give clothing. Men, wine and meat. That's an obligation, a biblical obligation in the Torah, that every day of Yom Tov, you have to have meat and wine. It's even today, halacha, you have to have meat and wine every day of Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed. So it says, therefore the Mishnah said, that if you're a Jew made a vow to bring a korban during the year, and they bring the korban on Yom Tov, you could fulfill your obligation of being happy on Yom Tov by eating meat, through eating the meat of that korban. That's what you could be, that's what the Mishnah said. So it says, Tan Rabbanon, it says in the Braise, V'samachta b'chagecha, the Torah says you have to be happy. What does it mean, V'samachta b'chagecha? L'rabbis kol min ismachis l'simcha. Any type of rejoicing is considered rejoicing, no matter what it is. Meaning, there's no particular method that the Torah tells you to be happy. Whatever makes you happy, that's what you have to do. From here, Chachamim say, Yisrael Yaitzin Yidei Chivoson, Ayid could be Yaitz's obligation. B'nedarim and Nedavis. With either the vows or the promises that he made, or Maisid Behema, or with the Maisid Behema that he brings the 10% of the animals, he can fulfill his obligation of being happy by eating that meat. Koyanim could take it even a step further, because Koyanim are allowed to eat certain parts of certain sacrifices. So it says, V'kayanim v'chatas v'asham, the kayanim with the meat of a sin offering, another type of sin offering, b'chare, the firstborn meat, b'chazev v'shoik, the breast and the thigh of the shlamim, these are all parts of the animal that kayanim eat. So a kayan could fulfill his obligation of simcha with that. So the Gemara says, Yachol av be'efes minachas. I would think you could be Yetzir Simcha with birds or flower offering. You know, bird korbanos or flower offering. Talmud Leimer, the Torah says, no. V'samachta b'chagecha. And the Gemara learns it out as follows. Mi shechagiga bo mehem. When the Torah says, v'samachta b'chagecha, b'chagecha means your Yom Tov. But it also means korban chagiga. That means you can only be sehapi with those meats that you could bring a korban chagiga with. And a korban chagiga had to be animal, not chicken or not birds or flower offering. Yotze Eila, which excludes birds and menachis, flower offerings, she'ein chagiga bo mehem, that chagiga doesn't come from them. Okay? So basically, the Gemara learns out that the word, number one, Mises means it comes from from your own money. And then the Gemara, the new Gemara is saying that anything that makes you happy of meat, even if it wasn't specially brought for it, you had to bring it anyway. The fact is that it's meat, and you're eating it, you're fulfilling your obligation of simcha. But not from birds, and not from flower offerings.
What's the touch flower offerings?
Menochas.
Big flowers?
No, F-L-O-U-R.
Ah.
A menocha. Mincha, carbon mincha. The kmitza, if a guy brought a flower offering, right?
Yeah.
So the Kohen made a kmitza, a handful, put it on the mizbech, the rest was eaten.
Uh-huh.
So what happens if a guy brought a carbon menachas? Let's see what the Kohen eats from it. Can a Kohen be yetzer the simcha of yomtiv by eating flower offering? So the answer is no. You can only be yetzer what the carbon chagiga could come from. Karma chagiga can only come from an animal. But you can't be yetzer from birds. Ravashi learns a different way. So the first opinion excludes birds because it says chagecha means chagiga. Ravashi answers a different answer. You know where you learn out that you can't use birds or flour? Because it says v'samachta. Not from the word b'chagecha. From the word v'samachta. And simcha is ein b'hem simcha. There's no simcha by a bird. Because like it says, they were not as filling as beef. Chicken is not as filling as beef. So therefore you're not happy with chicken as you are with meat. Like we learned already, if you hate meat, that doesn't mean you have a mitzvah to eat meat, because if you don't like it, you're not supposed to eat it. But now the Gemara asks an interesting question. Ravashi learns it out from the word v'samachta. So what does he do with the word b'chagecha? It's extra. You should just say v'samachta. You should be happy. He's talking about Yom Tov. Why does it say you have to be happy on Yom Tov? And this is an interesting halacha. Ahucha l'Rav Daniel bar Katina. This teaches us the din of Rav Katina bar Rav Daniel bar Katina, in the name of Rav. The Amar Rav Daniel bar Katina, Amar Rav in the name of Rav, Minayim she'neisim noshim b'meid. How do I know you can't get married on Chol HaMoed? You can't make a wedding on Chol HaMoed Pesach or Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Why? She'namer, because it says in the Torah, v'samachta b'chagecha. You have to be happy with the Yom Tov, and not with your wife. Meaning, that doesn't mean if you're married. Doesn't mean if you're married, you shouldn't be happy with your wife. There's an emphasis, the simcha has to be exclusive with the Yom Tov, not with the new wife. No, that's not what the reason the Gemara says. Other, in Ma'id Katan, Taisa says the Gemara brings on other reasons. One is, you don't mix simcha with simcha. But here the Gemara is learning out from a pasuk. V'chagecha v'loi b'ishtecha. Tesis, the Gemara made cuts at other reasons. So therefore, but the halacha is, by the way, that's only for the marriage, not for the kedushin. The Gemara says you can even do kedushin on Yom, not on Yom Tov itself, because you can't acquire anything on Yom Tov. But a Chol HaMoed, you can give a woman a ring and say Aret Mekadeshesli. Because if you don't do it, somebody else will grab her first. Kedushin. Kedushin Erisin is the same thing.
Today.
Not today. Kedushin and Erisin is the same thing. Erisin, it says that at Mekadeshesli. Nisuin permits them to live together. So you can't make a chup. Today we do it all together anyway. But in the time of the Gemara, it says in Meid Katan that a nesim noshin b'meid, you can't make a wedding on Yom Tov, which permits you to live with her. But not a shidduch.
First step, whatever
it's, No, but in the time of the Gemara, you're able mamish to do Aret Mekadeshesli. Then they gave 12 months later. What?
So under the chuppah, he didn't say Aret Mekadeshesli.
In the time of the Gemara?
Yeah, they just made a party.
No, they made the chuppah with Sheva Brachas.
No ring. No Aret Mekadeshesli.
He did that a year before.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Okay.
In the time, we learned this. In the time of the Gemara, if a man wanted to marry a woman, and he wanted to get her stuck that she can't marry anybody else? He gave her a ring in front of two witnesses. That forbid her to live with anybody else. It forbid her to live with them too. If they wanted to break up, they needed a get. That woman they got a get cannot marry a Kohen. He just cannot live with her because they're not married yet. 12 months later, they had the chuppah, they got married, and they lived hopefully ever after. Okay? Nowadays, we do kiddushin and nisuin together. Because we don't have a lot of problems. But what the Gemara is saying, not only can you make it, today, a shidduch is a boy and a girl say, okay, we're going to get married. That's nothing, basically. You don't need to get when you break up. That for sure you could do Yom Tov. If there's a kinyan. But what you have to, here the Gemara is talking about, you can even do Kedushin on Yom Tov, on Chol HaMoed, and Yom Tov you can't. If a guy did, by the way, it's Mekudeshes. What happens on Shabbos, you can't come over to a woman and give her a ring and say, I am Mekudeshesly. Because you're acquiring the woman, you can't do that. Yeah? What happens if a guy did it?
It's good.
Because he did something wrong. He did something you're not allowed to do, but the Kedushin is still valid. If you sell me something on Shabbos, you're not allowed to sell things on Shabbos, right? Mm-hmm. If I come over to you on Shabbos, and you have a bottle of soda, and I say, here's a dollar on Shabbos. Sell me the bottle of soda. You take the dollar. I take the bottle. I acquired the bottle. Now, what happens if you come along and say, 1 minute. You can't do that. It's Shabbos. You can't make a sale. I want to change my mind from the sale. You can't. Mm-hmm. The sale is a sale. I did something wrong that has nothing to do with the sale. The sale is a valid sale. Yeah, but it's still Asim Drabanan, but it doesn't take away from the actual thing. Okay, Mishnah. This is a very easy Mishnah. What?
The guy stole money with that money, he's Mekadesh Isha.
It depends if he acquired the money, didn't acquire the money. Is it his money? Is it not his money?
Steals it, comes
in. Well, if he acquired it, depends what happened. If the owner gave up hope, if the owner didn't give up hope, if you changed possession, domains are with it. Today? If a couple is officially engaged, so they make what's called a lechayim, a vart, whatever, right? And a lot of times they do the handkerchief. You know, they pick up a kinyan. What is a kinyan? Basically, the kinyan, thank you. The kinyan is that the chassan and the kala bind each other and agree, not legally that you would need to get, but they're like promising, they're giving the word that they will marry each other. Then they break up, huh? So then the din is, if they break up, and it's not necessarily mutual, then they need to ask forgiveness from the other one. No, if there's an engagement with a kinyan, then, but they made a kinyan, they didn't make a kinyan, many poskim say you don't have to do anything, because it was never legal in any way. So then you have to get mechila, forgiveness from the person.
So if they give each other rings,
then it says it's better to get mechila. No. Lepel not. That it shouldn't come to that, but it's lepel, bottom line is you don't. Okay, but I said jewelry and clothing. Mish, it depends what the woman wants. If you ask them, they'll say, I want both. So it says now as follows. The Mishnah, this Mishnah is a very simple, practical Mishnah. And just to preface it with one concept. Yom Tif, you need to bring Korban Oila, which is completely burnt on the Mizbeach, nobody eats. And you need to bring a Shlomim that people eat. Okay? Now, if you have a lot of people that you have to bring, if you have a lot of people you have to feed, you can't bring a lot of Oilas and a few Shlomim. Because Eilis are completely burned on the Mizbeach. You have nothing left to eat. So what do you have to do? You have to bring more Shlomim and fewer Eilis. If you have less people, you should bring more Eilis and less Shlomim. It's a very practical Mishnah. Now we learned in the Mishnah there's a minimal price, you know, one ma, two ma. But beyond that, the Mishnah is going to say, and let's see it inside. Mishi yashle eichle merubin. A person who has many dependents to feed. Meaning he has a lot of people that he has to feed or that are going to eat. So the Mishnah advises you what to do. Maybe shlomim merubim, you bring a lot of shlomim, but eilis mu'atis, a few eilis. Why? Because eilis are completely burnt. So you have to better spend the money where you're going to get to feed the people than the other way. What happens? Nechasim merubim ve'eichlim me'otim. What happens if you have a lot of money, but you have a few people to feed? So you do the opposite. Maybe eilis merubis, then you bring a lot of eilis which are completely burnt on the mizbeach. Ve'shlamim me'otim, and you bring fewer shlamim. Because you have to understand, you can't have leftover meat. It's forbidden to leave over meat from kabbanis after the allotted time. So if you have a lot of money, and let's say it's a husband and wife, and that's it. And they have a lot of money, so they bring a lot of eilis, and they're very few shlum, just the minimal. What happens, zev zem mu'it? What happens if you have few people and a little money? What do you do? So he says, al zen nemar, concerning this, the Mishnah said before, ma shtei kesef, the eilis riya has to be worth one silver, and the shalmech agiga, two silver more. That's the minimal requirement. What happens? Zev is emirubim. What happens if you have a lot of people and a lot of money? So how much do you bring? So the pasuk says, "Al zeh nemar." Concerning this, the pasuk says, "Ish kemat nasyada." Each person based according to what he can give. Kevirkas Hashem alakecha, based on the blessing that Hashem gave you, that's how much you should give. So the Gemara is basically saying very simple. If you have a little bit of money, bring less kabbanis. You have a lot of money, bring a lot of kabbanis. You have a lot of mouths to feed, bring more shlomim. You have less mouths to feed, bring more eilis. This is a bunch of a very simple, practical Mishnah of how to do it. But the Gemara asked the question, it said in the Mishnah, if you don't have a lot of money, but you have a lot of mouths to feed, bring a lot of shlomim. So the Gemara asks, where is he supposed to bring it from? Halesan, he has no money. You just got through saying that he doesn't have any money. So how could he bring a lot of shlomim? Where does he get the money from? Amir Rav Chista says, Teifel umevi par godl. What you do is, you supplement it with Meiser Sheni money, like we learned before, and you buy a big bull. That means you take $2, which is the minimal amount, from your regular money. And then the rest, you give with Meiser Sheni money. And that everybody had, because everybody had to bring the Meiser Sheni to Yerushalayim. Amalei Rav Sheshes said to Rav Chista, how could you say that? How could you say that you join money to money to buy a big animal? We said before in the Gemara, you don't do that. We just got through saying before, Teiflim behema le behema, you could supplement animal to animal, but you don't supplement money to money. Meaning, well, like we said before, you buy one animal of chulin and one animal of maiser. And here you're saying you join the money to buy one animal. So the Gemara says, "My ka'amale." What's the question? The Gemara says, "Ile ma'achikamal." If you're saying Rav Sheshis's question was, "Hari amlo teiflum beim lebeim," we said you can supplement animal to animal. Avali mois lemois, but not money to money. So valemale. So Rav Sheshis should have asked the question differently. He should have asked, "Ain teiflum mois lemois?" That you don't add money to money. Why is he saying you add? You don't add behemoth to behemoth. He should have said the question clearly, that you don't add money to money. Elahachi kamali, this is what he said. Hari amlu, we just got through saying before in the Gemara. Af teiflum behemoth, you could supplement animal to animal. So why don't you do that? So the Gemara is going to say now that this opinion is according to nobody. If you remember before in the Gemara we learned today, Rabbi Yechanan says you can add money to money and buy one animal. Chizkiyah, but you can't do it the other way. Chizkiyah said you can buy animal to animal, but you can't add money to money. Rav Sheshis says you can do both. So Gemara says the opposite of what we learned before. Come on, who does it go like? The lay ke Chizkiyah or the lay ke Rabbi Yechanan? It goes according to neither opinion. How could that be? So the Gemara asks, "V'chite ma'meroi hu pligi?" If you're going to say that he argues, meaning he's an amerer that can argue against the two of them, but masnita loy pligi, but he's not arguing on a braiser. V'oktani, it says in the braiser, achila rishayim and achul. The first eating has to be from chulin, means you can't supplement one animal in one animal with both monies. So the Gemara, I'll explain this whole thing in a second. So the Gemara says, "My achila rishena." What does it mean? The first eating, not the whole first eating, the amount of the first eating, which is the two ma of money. Meaning like this: the Gemara said before a statement, you could supplement meiser money to chulin money. Now there was two opinions before. Rabbi Yechanan said you could supplement money to money and buy one big animal from both monies. Chizkiyah said, no, you can supplement by buying one animal chulin, and the next animals you can buy with maaser. But you can't supplement money to buy one animal. Here Rav Sheshis is coming along and saying you can do it either way. So Gemara said, how could Rav Sheshis argue against the braiser, that the braiser says the first eating has to come from chulin? So how could he say that you could do mixture of chulin and maaser? So the Gemara answers, he didn't mean the first eating. He meant the $2 of the first eating. That means even in the eating itself, just $2 of it has to be from chulin money, and the rest doesn't have to be. So according to Rav Sheshis, you could supplement money to money to buy one big animal, or you could supplement animal to animal and have the first animal of chulin and the second animal of maaser and do it that way. Either way is fine. And he argues that both on Rabbi Yechanan and on Chizkiyah. They held you could only do one way. He says you could do both ways. Really doesn't matter today because we can't do either of them today. We have no kabbanas. We don't have these obligations today, so it's not even mentioned in halacha who the halacha is like, because it's not relevant today. So Shulchan Aruch doesn't discuss it.
But last week you were discussing about like wall, and if these two people are building a wall, they both own the whole thing in its entirety.
Oh, you heard the tape, yeah?
They own each drop, both of them own each drop, half and half, or one of them owns one drop and the other one?
One half and one half.
Which one is
it? It's an argument, it's the opinion of halacha. The question is, what is a partnership? Is a partner in a building means half the building is yours, half the building is mine? Or does it mean each part of the building is both of ours? And that's what we said last week. if there's a wall between, and this is very practical then, by the way, there's a wall between the neighbors. You live here, I live here, and there's a wall in between. Right? And let's say this foot is a 6 foot wall, wide. Not height, wide. Right? And one neighbor says to the next neighbor, let's say, I just want to make it easier. 2 feet wide, okay? You don't like 6 feet. The wall is 2 feet wide. Right? Now, I come along and say to you, neighbor, you know, the fence is not high enough. Let's make the fence higher. And you say, I'm not interested. It's good enough for me. Right? So now the question is, can I take my 1 foot of my side and build up the wall on my 1 foot? Can you stop me? So one opinion in Halacha says you could, and one opinion says you can't. Right? What's the logic of the argument? If a partnership in the wall means this half is mine and this half is yours, on my side I could do what I want. Right? But if you say a partnership means every part of the wall belongs to both of us, then if you build your wall here, that's on my property anyway. Because half of yours is also mine. So you can't do it. That's the big argument. Or if neighbors own a piece of land that belongs to both of them. Let's say, whatever, I don't know. Piece of land that belongs to both of them. A walkway, a driveway, let's say. What does it mean? Half is mine, half is yours? Or we're partners in all of it? Could be a big difference. Huh? The what? What does that mean?
That means it's not half and half. Both half
so I can't build a my half bigger.
If it's undivided interest,
I think it depends on the exact vesting on the title.
If it doesn't say anything, what is it? Obviously, if you stipulate, you stipulate. I mean, that's not a question. The question, if you don't stipulate, what does it mean? But that's the problem. That's, if it's clear in the deed, then it's not a problem. But if it's not clear, that's obviously when the whole problem comes up. You know, it's the whole beginning of Baba Basra. Let's say me and you own a piece of property. Okay? And I want to divide it. Can I force you to split it? So if it's big enough, and the Gemara discusses how big exactly it has to be, depending if it's a field that grows things or a courtyard or whatever, but let's say it's a chatzar, which 4 am is 6 feet, is called usable space. And we have a 10 foot chotzer. Let's say it's 5 amas, right? For each side. Well, no, I would say 10 amas. Okay? 20 feet. And I say, you know what? I don't want to be a partner with you anymore. I want to split it. So then is we can split the courtyard in half. I take half, you take half. What happens if it's too small to be divided?
Or there's a house in the middle?
Well, some days you could sell the house and split it. But what happens if the minimal size, let's say, is 8 feet, and this is only 6 feet? And I don't want to be a partner with you anymore. So the Gemara says there's a thing called good or good. I can say to you, either buy you out or you buy me out. You have a right to say that. You can't force a guy to stay a partner if he doesn't want. So if it's divisible, then they divide it. If it's not divisible because it's too small, and by dividing it, it's worthless, then I could say to you, buy me out or buy you out. They have that, by the way, in a lot of halachas today, a lot of din Torahs, of people that want to break a business, you know, and there's no fair way of dividing it. You know, the guy could say, you buy me out or I buy you out. And you can't stop him.
Then they auction it off between the two of them, or?
No, if they Bezdin evaluates the market price of it, let's say market price is $10,000, let's say, right? So Bezdin says to Reuven, either you buy him out or he buys you out, and that's it.
Both of them say, I want to buy out.
Exactly.
Huh?
Both of them want it.
So then I don't remember what the halacha is. Or else they can auction and divide the profits. Or then maybe they go to highest bidder. What happens if you have a partner in a duplex? Right? And they don't want to be partners anymore. Somebody can say, you buy me out, I buy you out. Or business. Okay. So now the Gemara says, Amr Ullah, Amr Reish Lakish. Ullah said in the name of Reish Lakish, what happens if a guy separated and designated 10 animals for Karban Chagiga? He separated 10 animals for Karban Chagiga. He could have Chamish B'Yom Tov Arishin, and he brought 5 on the first day of Yom Tov. The din is Chayzo and Makar of Chamish B'Yom Tov Sheni. He has to bring them on the second day. He brings them on the second day and the other 5. Now, if he has 10 animals to bring, he brings 5 the first day, 5 the second day. Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Yechanan says no. Kivin Sheposek, once you stopped bringing the animals on the first day, Shuvei Namakiv, you can't bring them anymore. And this is now going to go into the whole thing, exactly what this means. Because it's very, very complicated. Not complicated, it's just the Gemara is trying to figure out what does it mean over here, that if you have to bring 10 animals, and you bring 5 one day, whether you could be 5 the other day or not. Some people say you could, some people say you can't. And we'll leave it here, because now starts a whole new...